DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Well, we're joined by Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on housing, Eoin Óibrín. Today, the party announced a part of its alternative homes plan, which is going to promise to deliver 50,000 affordable homes within 5 years. Eoin Óibrín, how are you going to do that? And surely that's nowhere near the number of new homes that are required in the country within the next 5 years.
No, it's not. And on Sunday, we released the overall figures for our housing plan. The full version of the plan will be published in the start of September. We're accepting the Housing Commission's recommendation that we need at least 300,000 new builds from 2025 to 2029. We're also accepting the Housing Commission's recommendation that a very large number of those, particularly in the early years, have to see a dramatic increase in social and affordable homes. So within that 300,000, and that's more than double what the government will have delivered by the end of this year over 5 years, we'd like to see 75,000 new build social homes, again, double what the government have delivered. But we'd like to see 50,000 genuinely affordable homes delivered by local authorities and approved housing bodies and community housing trusts, half to rent, half to buy. That's broadly in line with the Housing Commission's recommendations, which is why, given they're a group of experts who are in the business of delivering housing in the public and private sector on a daily basis, why we think that's the right target to go for.
What do you mean by an affordable home? Because surely any home that gets sold is affordable to the buyer.
Yes, but the problem is, and the Housing Commission recognised this, and they're not the first people to do it, there's a growing cohort of people who aren't too much to be eligible for social housing, but simply either can't afford to rent or buy in the private market, or they really struggle because the cost, for example, of renting is more than 40% of their take-home pay. So there's a big cohort of working people. Many of them are young, although not all, and they might be on a gross income of 55, 65, 75,000 in Dublin, the commuter belt. They might even be on 85 to 90,000. They cannot actually buy a new home. Even with all of the demand side subsidies that government throws about, they can't buy the homes that are there. So what we want to do through our local authorities and approved housing bodies with significant amount of state funding is to deliver really, really good quality homes at prices ranging from 250,000 to just shy of 300,000. And we have a very specific proposition as to how we do that, which I can explain.
Yeah, but how much do those houses and apartments cost to build? Sure. Or is that irrelevant to whatever people are going to be paying for them?
No, and this is the detail of what we set out today. So if you look at a typical new build house that's on the market today, only half the price of the house on the market is the cost of construction. The other half is typically, and this is from the Society of Chartered Surveyors as well as from Department of Housing figures, everything else is land, site servicing, compliance, taxation, etc. So Sinn Féin's affordable purchase scheme works as follows. You take the all-in development costs, and that includes the hard costs, construction, site servicing, everything. But then the state takes responsibility for land, site servicing, utility connections and waives development levies. The state retains ownership of that land. And what the purchaser pays for is they pay for the house. They buy the home. The home is legally theirs. And they get free indefinite use of the public land for themselves, for their children in perpetuity. But there are two conditions attached. One is when they come to sell the home, and they can sell the home when they want, they don't sell it on the private market. They sell it to a future affordable purchaser at the future affordable purchase price. That would be the price they paid for it, index linked for inflation.
So effectively
inflation.
A government body would be a broker in doing a deal sell for them to move on to somewhere else.
So currently, for example, government affordable housing schemes are sold through the local authorities. What we want to do is year on year build up a stock of privately owned, privately traded, but permanently affordable homes, because we don't just need affordable homes for the current generation. We also need affordable homes for future generations as well.
Where will this land be, though? Because the Land Development Agency did a really interesting report last year, and it surveyed all the land owned by the state and tried to work out where it would be zoned and where it would be suitable for actual building. And an awful lot of the state agencies and commercial companies simply don't want to give up this land, or if they are forced to give up the land, will want to be paid a hefty price for it. So where are you going to get all the land?
First of all, the LDA report is a very good report, but it wasn't a survey of all public land. It was a survey of very specific sites that would have a strategic importance. The problem, of course, is, and we said this at the time when the legislation underpinning the Land Development Agency was being produced, that first of all, they don't have the legal powers to actually get access to those databases. So local authorities and other public agencies don't make that information publicly available. But they also don't have comprehensive compulsory purchase order power, so they have no ability to access that land in any meaningful way. When we publish our comprehensive alternative housing plan, we're going to set out how you tackle those issues. But what is clear is the following. There are many local authorities who have enough land for maybe 2 to 3 years of our alternative housing plan, but they'll then run out. There are other local authorities who don't have enough land for that. And that's why we need a comprehensive active land management agency to provide that pipeline of land. But also, when we set out this in great detail with full costings, we're not just talking about delivering these homes on local authority land. We'll also be using Part 5, a significant portion of the homes that the local authorities and approved housing bodies buy at a discount from private developers will be used for affordable housing. And we'll continue to use design and build and turnkey on private land as well. And irrespective of which of those delivery models, and the document goes through this in some detail, we demonstrate how, irrespective of what the all-in development costs, whether it starts at 308,000 or goes up to 424,000, we can still put those homes into the affordable purchase scheme for prices below 300,000 and in some cases as low as 244,000 euros.
Okay, because you need the land to be zoned and you also need the land to be serviced. And servicing land comes at a price as well. So how are you going to, are you going to pay Irish Water and the utility providers? Because you've criticised the government for their rebate scheme that it has in place at present, which does essentially the same thing.
Well, what they do is something very different. They're spending 400 million euros on a development levy and utility waiver that has no benefit, doesn't reduce house purchase prices at all. And in fact, a lot of that money is going to very, very profitable developers or to institutional investors. We've never said that you shouldn't look at development levies or utility connections where it can guarantee affordability. So our measure is actually a much smarter, more effective measure. But to answer your question directly, absolutely. What the state would be doing under our plan is through a public housing fund contribution. The state would be covering the cost of land, site servicing, utility connections, and would waive development levies. And that then allows you to reduce the sale price for the purchaser from the all-in delivery cost, in some cases up to 30, 35%. See, here's the challenge. Right now, across the country, there are huge numbers of people, singles and couples, earning 55, 65, 75,000, who cannot buy anything, even with all of the subsidies the government is throwing about. We need to find a way, first of all, to give those people hope, to say that home ownership is now within your grasp and within your reach again, but also to ensure, if the state is making that very considerable investment in the document we published today, we have the full costings, what it would cost the state over 5 years. We want to make sure that that very significant investment by the state in that critical infrastructure of public land benefits future generations.
Okay, but if
as well.
It's public land, then by definition, I think, given what you've said previously, you would not allow private building to go on that public land. So then how are you going to get a social mix? How are you going to avoid effectively building 21st century ghettos?
So what we've always argued is for a new model of public housing, where whether it's a local authority, approved housing body or a cooperative, they're building estates that have really, really good income mixes in them, because you'd have people who are social renters in the traditional sense of the term, people on affordable rental and people on affordable purchase. Who's going to build these homes? Like social homes from the foundation of the state, it'll be private building contractors. But the developer is the local authority, the approved housing body. And what's really important in sustainable communities isn't so much tenure, it's income mix. So think about it. In our ideal model, you'll have people who are going to be social renters and they'll be on incomes of 40, 45,000. You'll have affordable renters, according to our criteria, they'll be on incomes of, you know, in Dublin, 66,000 and outside below. And then you'll have affordable purchasers and they'll be in incomes ranging from kind of about 55,000 up to 85, 90,000.
But you'll have nobody living on the estates above those income levels, will you, if it's all publicly owned land?
Well, first of all, the vast majority of private estates don't have people above those incomes living on them. I mean, 90 grand, that covers about 85% of households in the state. And the problem is this. We either accept that the private residential development sector can't provide affordable homes for people to rent or buy on those income cohorts that I've set out, and therefore the state has to intervene and do that. That's our proposition. Or we consign those people to a future of emigration, living in a mum and dad's box bedroom, or paying unaffordable rent in the private rental sector.
Okay, but if you say 85% of people aren't above those income limits, that suggests only a small portion of people will qualify. Is that not going to create a lot of division amongst people?
The
opposite.
If 85% of households fall within the income threshold, those are the people who are eligible.
Yeah, but it only means a small portion of them will actually get these houses, and the rest will still have to find other places to live, which could mean that there'll be an awful lot of division between people. How does such and such a person qualify when I don't?
Well, if you're designing any scheme, it needs to be targeted. So, for example, if somebody's earning 150,000 euros a year, if somebody's a government minister or a TD, they're able to buy a home on the open market. They have the capacity to do that. What we want is to give hope to those people who aren't able to buy at the moment. Also keep in mind, in private housing estates, we have Part 5, social affordable housing, so there'll be an income mix and a tenure mix there as well. This is about saying to those people who today cannot buy anything, Sinn Féin and government would deliver very large volumes of really good quality, affordable homes to rent or buy, something that has never happened under Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but only with the scheme as we've outlined could people realise okay. that aspiration.
All right. Thank you, Owner Brent. Conor O'Connell has been listening, Director of Housing and Planning at the Construction Industry Federation and the Irish Home Builders Association. Conor, what's your opinion as to how well this idea could work?
Like any housing policy, it deserves careful consideration. We got a copy of it at lunchtime. Look, we'll have to go through it, we'll review it. I believe there's a further launch in September on more of the detail, but it'll all be about the detail, Matt. Look, the public housing fund, the 30 to 60 year financing arrangements for cost rental and affordable are interesting. I'd like to know what the clawback mechanisms is, what happens if when someone buys one of these homes and puts an extension on and adds value to it. You know, there's all of these minute and conveyancing issues that impact on the success or otherwise of schemes. But ultimately, Matt, we've a lot of schemes in place. We've the Help to Buy, the First Home Scheme, the Waiver and Rebate Scheme, with the introduction of Cost Rental finally at scale, hopefully over the next number of years. But all of these schemes for someone to purchase a house or rent a house depend on one of the key issues that you discussed there, the availability of zoned and serviced land, Matt. And unfortunately, at the moment, many, many of our members are reporting right around the country significant issues with the availability of serviced and zoned land. So, for instance, I understand Uisce Éireann are looking for €500 million extra in their annual budgets, capital budgets, the service, the water and wastewater services, upgrades, there's the roads and access roads. There is a very significant problem developing at the moment where an awful lot of the lands that were zoned and were serviced are now being utilised, and our members are reporting on a lack of availability. That's why the revision of the draft national planning framework that's out for consultation at the moment, the housing ranges figures in the Housing Commission report, the SRI report, are vital to ensure that we plan ahead. Because ultimately, you can have all the schemes in the world, but if you don't have enough land that is zoned and serviced with planning permissions in place, those schemes can't be used.
And then, Conor, what about the price of the land? I mean, the Owen's estimate is that only about half of the price of a house is down to the hard build, the construction. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Look, it does depend. The residual value is the term that's used to assess the land value within, the overall delivery costs of a housing unit. And it ranges between 10 and 15% of the delivery cost of that unit. But certainly, if you have a public housing land and you're competing with the private market for land that is zoned and serviced, and there's a constriction or a constraint and supply of that land, you're going to increase the price for both the public body and the private body. So in other words, the success of any scheme depends upon the availability of sufficient quantities of service and zoned land. And our members are reporting, delays in the provision, long delays in the provision of service infrastructure, whether that's water, wastewater, access roads, but it's simply taking too long to build these out. And in other cases as well, Matt, our members are reporting that even where there is, serviced or serviceable lands available, for instance, as one example, next to a railway station in Kildare, and there's settlement caps in place where you can't even apply for planning permissions. Or in another major urban area in Ireland, there's a route selection process undergoing through zoned lands, which is neutralising their ability to be activated for housing. So we really, really got to concentrate in order to ensure the success of whatever scheme is put in place, and to deliver the housing that's required at scale, we need to invest in infrastructure.
Okay. Conor O'Connell from the Construction Industry Federation, thank you, and Owner Brin Sinn Féin, TD and spokesperson on housing.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.